Well, good morning, Santa Clarita. It's good to see you this Friday morning. How you doing? Welcome in. You are listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. I am Matt Watson, and this is SCDI, and I lead schools Eye on the Valley. How you doing on this fine Friday morning? I mean, it's Friday. How bad could it be, right? And it's, hey, did you hear? It's the Friday morning of a three-day weekend. We got President's Day coming up, so yeah, let's slide into this one, you know, low and slow. So yeah, so let me tell you, if you're new to our show Eye on the Valley is brought to you by SCDI and I Lead Schools. We are a network of charter schools with campuses in Castaic, Agua Dulce, Lancaster. We've got a fully accredited online school, a burgeoning, I love that word, burgeoning. A burgeoning homeschool program in iLead Exploration. For more information on any of our schools, whether they're classroom and campus-based or virtual, visit us at iLeadSchools.org, iLeadSchools.org, and you can get information on whatever educational model that fits the needs of you and your kids. So yeah, we're all about education. We've got our eye on education here in Santa Clarita and across the nation. But then, like the show says, we keep our eye on the valley as well, bringing you everything that you need to know about what's what right here in the valley. And we try to do so while bringing a smile to your face. Insert giggle here. Oh, shoot. Wait a minute. That was in parentheses. Forget that part. Okay. So, yeah, we like to horse around a little bit, have a good time, and bring you some relevant and interesting information. We've got a great show for you today. No matter who you are, I think you're going to find something really enjoyable in today's show. Coming up in just a moment, we've got Tanya Olertegi, Athletic Director at SCVI. If you've ever listened to the show, you know I'm a big, big sports nut and love talking local school sports as well. So we'll get to Tanya in just a second. And in hour number two, we'll talk to Jeff Stabile. Jeff is director of the Santa Clarita Veteran Services Collaborative. He's an absolute amazing human being. He's a veterans advocate. He's a community volunteer, a community. Well, gosh, he's what is it? He just recently received an award, Community Member of the Year, California's Community Member of the Year. How's that for some hardware in your trophy case? So, yeah, Jeff is an amazing guy. We'll talk to him in hour number two, and then we will wrap up the show like we always do with fun and trivia with Big T. That's right. Mom makes me put my big brother on the show because I can't have nice things of my own. So yeah, we've got a little something for everyone, a little bit of everything for someone, or is that something for someone? I don't know. But we've got it all right here for you on Eye on the Valley. Like I said, our first guest this morning is the athletic director at SCVI Charter School. Tanya Olertegi comes to SCVI recently with a background as an academic director and physical education teacher, while having worked 2 decades as a strength and conditioning coach, group instructor, and personal trainer. Along with two separate associate's degrees, Tanya holds a Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology and Exercise Science and a Master's degree in Educational Leadership and Administration, both from Cal Lutheran, as well as a second master's degree in exercise science from Liberty University. Liberty's got a great basketball team this year. Tanya looks forward to improving the athletic opportunities for the entire SCVI family. Her immediate goals are to create more opportunities for our learners to participate in sports and recreational fitness by creating a welcoming and purpose-driven environment that encourages healthy lifestyle changes. And in addition, she hopes to garner greater parent involvement and greater student participation in sports and physical fitness at SCVI. Tanya, welcome to Eye on the Valley.
Hi, thank you.
Tanya, you know, I just kind of read a little bit of your resume, and I was kind of fawning all over you before the show started. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Did you come to SCVI? I mean, how did we get so blessed to land an athletic director like you?
Well, I feel like the opposite. I feel like I'm blessed to be at SCVI because it really is like the dream job that I was hoping for. I was trying to get away from the traditional school setting and found SCVI. And they were looking for a physical education teacher, and I said, perfect, let me go down and see what this is about. And when I came down for the interview and they explained the job to me, I was like, okay, I'm in. This is it. This is what I've been looking for.
Fantastic. Gosh, what a... a match made in heaven, as they say.
Exactly.
So you mentioned you have worked at other schools.
Yes.
And you've been with SCVI now, what is it, 6-7 months?
Yes.
So what makes it different? What are you enjoying about SCVI? What makes it a little different than working at other schools?
Well, the huge difference with working from a traditional school setting to this is just the autonomy that I have and being able to create lessons more freely. When you're at a traditional school in a physical education program, you're kind of tied to what they're offering. Mm-hmm. And here I've given free rein to pretty much just do what I feel the students want. So I've actually gone around and talked to the students, had them fill out a survey, and we know what they want, and that's what we're providing for them. So,
gosh, that's funny. We hear that over and over from the different educators at all of our ILEAD schools is that autonomy, mm-hmm, to do what we as experts know is right by kids, and you're not, you know, you don't have your arm tied behind your back by, you know, a required district curriculum or anything like that. So,
or, you know, teaching them things that they're probably not going to take with them into adulthood. I mean, I think there was a study I read that 95% of, you know, students, once they become adults, they don't participate in group sports anymore. And what they really do is they go out and they do things like running, cycling, going to the gym, okay, taking classes. So to teach them these things now, I think it's important. And it's something they're going to use for the rest of their life, for sure.
Interesting. That is really interesting. You know, it's one of the things that that really struck me when I started at SCVI. Something that was always in my head, and I know a lot of my classmates when I was growing up, is, okay, yeah, I can learn this skill, this concept, I can memorize this fact, but when am I ever going to use that in the real world? You never hear that asked at SCVI and the rest of our ILEAD campuses, because the curriculum is built around, you know, preparing kids for real world by putting them in it.
Right.
Yeah. So now there's a myth out there about charter schools. I hear a lot of times people say, you know, I really would love to enroll my kid in a charter school, but I want them to have the regular school experience where they have athletics and they have, you know, the dances and things like that. And so there is that myth, especially when it comes to smaller schools like SCVI, that they don't offer sports or that there's not a full battery, maybe one or two, but that's far from the truth, right?
Absolutely far from the truth. I mean, we have sports all the way from kindergarten all the way through the high school.
Wow.
We're just ending our spring, our winter and getting into the spring through the kindergarten all the way through eighth grade. We have sports such as like flag football, volleyball, soccer, basketball. We have peewee sports that did so wonderful this year. I think we had like 31 students involved in the peewee soccer program.
Wow. But
yeah, I mean, it was, you know, amazing this year. And so then in the high school as well, We're just getting ready to start our spring sports. We got some swimming coming up, track and field. We didn't have enough for the volleyball, boys volleyball, but we had some interest. And a lot of the students, you know, they were themselves unaware that there was these sports being offered. So when I came around, and I got a lot of feedback from the students. They were very interested. So I know that when I come back again, we're going to be creating more and more participation in those sports. But it's absolutely not true. We do have sports, and it is a very vigorous sports program.
Wow. And you mentioned from kindergarten through high school.
Yes.
So what are some of the sports at different levels? Let's start with the little guys. What are the kindergartners, first graders, the young elementary school kids doing?
They just finished their soccer, as I said, and they're getting ready to start basketball. So peewee basketball.
Okay.
And then we got elementary. So we just did elementary basketball and soccer, and we're getting ready to do those same things in middle school. So it's kind of switching around.
Similar sports in middle school.
Right,
okay.
Similar sports and switching around. And same thing with volleyball in the elementary as well. We just finished the middle school volleyball.
Okay, very cool. I love watching peewee soccer. It's just like a flock of birds to the ball.
It's so cute.
But it's funny, the same age kids playing basketball, they seem to be a lot more disciplined. Maybe that hoop being up so high kind of keeps them in check.
Well, you know, the hoop will be a little bit lower, but you know. But definitely we'll be teaching them. You know, it's a learning league. The league is called the Santa Clarita Athletic Independent League. And you know, it's just a learning league, really. So it teaches them the rules of the game, how to actually participate, you know, be on, you know, team sports,
uh-huh,
and so on and so forth. And it teaches them the discipline of being an athlete. So by the time they get to high school, they've got it down.
So let me walk this back a little bit. You mentioned the league that you're in.
Right.
So like with our kindergartners, with our elementary school age kids, middle school kids. This isn't intramurals that you're playing during PE class.
No.
You're playing against other area schools.
Absolutely, yeah. We have about 9 different schools that we compete against, including our sister school, iLead. And yeah, it's very vigorous. And the schools that are involved are basically charter and private schools. And they're really good. I mean, they, you know, they put a lot of money and funding into their sports program as well. So yeah, I mean, we're competing against some top schools.
Okay. Yeah. So like similarly sized schools, I'm imagining?
Some are bigger.
Oh, yeah. Some are bigger.
Some
okay.
are bigger. Yeah, absolutely. And it's those bigger schools. They got great funding and all of that, but they're, you know, they're so good to us, and it's just been a wonderful experience seeing how we all get along as a league.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you've got elementary aged athletics, competitive,
right.
You've got middle school, you've got high school.
And we're in a league there as well. So
it's a different league in high school?
Yeah, different league. It's the Omega League.
Okay.
Yeah, and we are through the CIF and NCAA recognized. So our students have the opportunity to get into intercollegiate sports as long as they participate and they perform well with athletics and inside the classroom.
Fantastic. Yeah. That is really cool.
Yeah.
So being a smaller school, I know SCDI, we've got K through 12, so it seems like a big school, but there's less than 1,000 kids.
Right.
In your high school, you've got about 200 kids. And so how do you get coaches for all these different teams at all these different levels?
You know, you'd be surprised. A lot of parents are just like willing to participate. They offer, I get emails all the time where the parents are saying, hey, you know, I did my life scan. I got my TB test done. I want to coach. I want to be assistant coach. I want to ref. I want to help out.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of volunteers, but then we also have facilitators. So our teachers are, you know, they're into whatever sport. We have volleyball, and we have flag football, and we have a soccer coach that are all facilitators within the school. When I'm ready to coach, I will be doing swimming and track and field because that's my background.
Oh, very cool. Right. Very cool. So you're kind of overseeing the program right now. You'll be coaching. Is that coming up in the spring?
Swimming. Yeah, swimming and track and field are coming up. So we'll see. I think I have a swimming coach, and then so I'll be able to do the track and field.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, very cool. I think track and field is new to SCVI this year, isn't it?
It would be, yes, because we didn't have it for a couple of years, but we have had it in the past. Uh-huh. And I found pictures and plaques with, you know, the students and their coaches and everything. And so I thought, this is something we need to get going. And, of course, it's a little rough when you don't have facilities. We don't have our own track, so we have to borrow.
Right.
We have to use other schools within the district. And they're very generous. They do let us use their field. So I think we'll be fine.
That is fantastic. That was my first question.
Yeah.
Is I know, you know, that we don't have that big track out in the back of the school
like
a lot of the campuses do. But that's great that you're so creative and that the other schools are so welcoming. That is awesome. We talked about the autonomy for the educators,
right?
And it's similar for our kids when it comes to sports. You mentioned that, you know, some kids were interested in volleyball, but we didn't have enough to put together a team. I remember years ago, there was some guys that came to me and said, hey, we want a baseball team. And I said, all right, I need 9. Let's bring me 9 guys. They brought me 8. And I said, we can't do it this year.
Yeah.
The following year, they came back with 15 guys. We had a team first year out. They went to the playoffs. And,
oh, great.
And it was really cool. And so it's the sports offerings that you're able to give to your kids really do depend on the kids, what they're interested in and what they want. It's not that, hey, we want a rugby team and all of us want to play rugby. Sorry, we don't do that here. It's if you've got a team, let's do it.
Yeah. If there's and again, you know, if you don't have enough to develop teams within the league, let's say we need 4 teams, only 3, you can scrimmage, and that's fine.
All right.
So you still have a team, and the students still get to participate, even though it's not like in competition.
Mm-hmm.
They're still getting out there, and they're getting the experience in the team sport and learning the skills of the sport and being able to participate in the activity that they want. So either way, they're going to get that chance.
All right. Now, you know, I've mentioned to you several times now, I'm a big sports guy, and my dad was always my coach, and he's a huge sports guy. You don't have a scoreboard unless you care who wins. So that's not, you know, that's not something that's unimportant.
Right.
Coach, how your team's been doing this year?
They've been doing really good, actually. They didn't, the soccer for the high school didn't make the playoffs, only because of the rains. We had to cancel and reschedule and or forfeit games, which just made it, just ruined it for them because they were on par to actually make the playoffs.
That's frustrating.
It was very disappointing, but, you know, we all have to learn those lessons in life. Sure. Things happen, and it doesn't always go your way. And I did sit down and talk with them, and we had some great conversations, and I think they still had good spirits about it, regardless of the outcome. But we do have a volleyball. Our volleyball team is going to the playoffs in the Scale League. It's the middle school team.
Uh-huh.
So next week they'll be starting the playoffs. The flag football, we're still waiting for those to come in, but I think that they might be in the playoffs as well. So it's exciting to see. And the girls' soccer as well, elementary soccer, might be going into the playoffs as well. So,
fantastic. Yeah. So offering sports at all levels and competing. That is great, you know, because winning isn't everything, but losing really stinks.
Yeah, you know.
We're talking this morning to Tanya Olartegi, Athletic Director at SCVI, home of the Mighty Stallions. When we get back, I want to find out things. You know, Tanya, you mentioned CIF, you mentioned NCAA. Mm-hmm. I want to dive into that a little bit deeper because depending on the athlete, that can get really, really important. And we'll talk about those things and a lot more when we get back. I'm Matt Watson, and you're listening to SCVI and iLead Schools Eye on the Valley on your hometown station, KHTS. Welcome back. You are listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. This is Matt Watson, and you are listening to SCVI and iLead Schools Eye on the Valley. I'm joined this morning by Tanya Olartegi. She's the athletic director at SCVI Charter School. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the charter school world, charter schools are free public schools. SCVI is a tuition-free public charter school, and it's got kind of that boutique feel of a private school, free of charge. We get our state funding the same way that every other public school does, right here at the center of Santa Clarita. So check us out at iLeadSantaClarita.org. But let's talk a little bit more about the amazing athletics program at SCVI. So, Tanya, athletics are different at a charter school, just, you know, by sheer size. And I know folks are pretty savvy. You know, you get into high school sports, and who doesn't love going to a, you know, the Friday night football game or you know, the basketball game and hooting and hollering and screaming down the refs and things like that. But at a charter school, especially the size of SCVI, are y'all still affiliated with the CIF? Is that something like, is this legit high school sports?
Absolutely, yeah. We are affiliated with the CIF, and that places us in a league, and it gives our students lots of opportunities outside of the athletics, for sure, yeah.
Okay, so it's fully organized, regulated, making sure that the kids stay safe, that they're getting the training that they deserve, and that competition is square and on the level.
Absolutely. They provide us all the rules and regulations, and, you know, I receive updates all the time. I'm constantly getting things in my email box or via in the mailbox that has to do with all of the new updates, so we're never behind on anything. We always know what's going on.
Fantastic, mm-hmm. Fantastic. Now, another thing that you mentioned in the last break that I've had a lot of parents ask me about, you know, is as I'll lead a tour through SCVI or, you know, talk to families, and they'll say, well, you know, my kid is college bound and he's thinking about playing a sport at a D1 school or a D2, D3 school. And so they'll ask me, is SCVI NCAA certified? And the first time I was asked that question, I was like, wait, we're a high school. NCAA is collegiate athletics. What does that even mean? So can you explain to our listeners what it means for a school to be NCAA certified and why that's so important for a student athlete?
Right. So being NCAA certified is just an opportunity for the students to be able to be recognized as athletes for their sportsmanship and for their ability to play well. When you're an amazing athlete and you play well and you also have good grades, you perform well scholastically, you could be recognized at a D1 school because we are D1 recognized. So our school would be able to get these students looked at by D1 schools, and therefore they can get scholarships on their athletics and go to school based on their athletics.
So they go through and they have to kind of pick through our courses one by one and make sure that we're not just shoving kids through classes and giving them, you know, the underwater basket weaving and the English for English speakers and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's a very set curriculum that we have to abide by, and so we have that. We know what they need to take, and they do check and make sure that they're getting the grades that they need in order to be recognized for those scholarships and their athletics.
Yeah, I know one of our previous directors, Nicole Padovich, took our school through that process, and it was a ton of paperwork, but what she said to me is, Matt, the process for us at SCVI wasn't hard because we're accredited by WASC, the Western Association of Schools and Colleges, and you know, our authorizer, the William S. Hart School District, keeps a close eye on our academic right. offerings, and so it wasn't anything that we had to tweak, but it was a tough paperwork process to go through.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mentioned that when that first came to our attention, the very first family that asked us, he says, look, my kids are playing at a different level. He had some world-class soccer stars in his home, and that's why he was asking. You've got some world-class athletes on your campus that don't necessarily practice sports through the school,
right.
but they're attending the school. Can you talk a little bit about some of these, like I said, legit world-class athletes that are getting their academic coursework done at SCVI?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have, I believe it's 6 boys that play basketball. All of them are elite athletes in for their age range, and they are going through a different program as far as where they play their sports, but they're getting their academics through SCVI, and they have all been accepted for an academic and athletic scholarship.
Wow.
And so they are all going to D1 intercollegiate athletes, athletic schools. So,
wow.
I mean, I think everything from Berkeley all the way down to San Diego, they've been accepted into different schools, all of them.
Wow. Yeah. And at Berkeley, yeah, you've got to be a top-notch athlete to get into Berkeley,
yes.
but you've also got to be able to get in academically. That's a testament of the coursework they're doing at SCVI.
Absolutely. These boys work really hard.
Yeah. And this isn't the first group. And it's an organization here in town that has some of the best coaches in the country, training athletes, but then, they're getting the coursework done through this free public charter school.
Right.
And it's not the first time. I actually am following somebody who is just an amazing young man, Jackson Kohler, mm-hmm. graduated from SCVI last year. He's now playing in his freshman season out at Michigan State, playing basketball, and just lighting up the Big Ten in basketball this year. So an amazing young man, very, very sweet young man. So
much talent out there for sure.
Well, yeah, athletics are incredibly competitive here in Santa Clarita.
Yes.
Families invest a lot of time and other stuff in their kids' athletic training.
Absolutely, and like at our school, they invest their time and they volunteer for a lot as well. And they're, you know, we got a lot of parents that volunteer on each team. So
yeah, very, very cool. And now, so we've mentioned a lot of different athletics, and you're looking forward to coaching the track and field
right.
team here coming up real soon, but you also facilitate PE. You're a PE teacher.
This is correct.
So what grades do you teach?
Well, right now I'm doing physical education as a extracurricular for the 8th graders. What I'm trying to do there is just prepare them for what it's going to look like in high school. So getting them kind of organized and understanding that there's a process to how we start our class, warm-ups and then stretches and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then I do the 9th grade. I'm trying to see if I can get students that need PE that haven't taken it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully next semester we'll be able to get some of the students that are maybe 10th, 11th, 12th grade,
right.
but need to get their physical education
their
credit.
Credits, yeah.
yeah, and then go ahead and do that. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun so far. I've been able to get in, and right now we're doing a fitness unit, which is going to prepare us for our state standards coming up in April.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because that's, you know, even though we're a charter school, we've got that autonomy.
Yes.
We still have to meet all the same standards,
yes.
academic and physical, that any school needs to. Yeah.
Right. So I've
so
ordered
you're getting
a,
ready?
I've ordered a bunch of stuff, and we're going to be working on just all different types of fitness training. We're talking from, you know, using bands and different weights to you know, calisthenics and so on. I mean, we're just going to do a lot of different things, yoga, Pilates, but I want them to build their core strength. We have the 5 components of fitness.
Okay.
So we go through our cardiovascular endurance.
Mm-hmm.
We have muscular endurance, muscular strength, flexibility, right, and your body composition. The students right. have already learned this. This is what we're going through. And they're going to be creating their own fitness routines by the end of the unit. And so they're creating their SMART goals as we speak. We got a whole packet for them so that they can journal and everything so that they can just get used to doing these types of things. And then by the time the fitness standards come, I guarantee you we're going to have a good success rate because they're going to build that up.
Nice. So as the kids are heading into their PE class, if they think they're taking a break from the rigorous academics, they are not.
No, they are not.
That is fantastic. So I mentioned you've got 20 years experience right. working with adults in various forms of yes. exercise science. But what do you enjoy about working with youth and athletics?
Well, I feel like right now at this age, they are just beginning to learn about themselves, about the things that they're interested in. And what I find the most, I guess, fulfilling is getting a student that thought that they wouldn't like fitness or thought that they didn't do well in fitness, and to see them start learning how to do things and do it well, and you see them change. It's kind of what happened to me when I was in high school, and when I see that in a student and I recognize it and I try to help them shape it, it's the most fulfilling thing. But I love working with young athletes because they're so open to everything that you're teaching them. I mean, they want to learn, yeah. and I think that they're not shut off, and they have good questions, and they work hard, and I really appreciate working with student athletes. And then the ones that are not athletes, I love teaching them new things that they never thought that they could do themselves, and then they start doing it, and they even surprise themselves.
That is so true, and it's funny. Folks in my generation like to talk about, oh, kids these days are this or that. If you pique their interest, mm-hmm. if you can engage them, yeah. they just open wide up and yep. and have such a thirst for knowledge and understanding.
This is true.
Whether it's PE, fitness, or chemistry, or theater arts, or right. any of the things that we offer at SCBI. That is fantastic. So for a guy like me, it seems obvious, but let me ask the question, because there's more than just a couple of the obvious benefits of participating in athletics. What are some of the benefits of participating in athletics, specifically at a smaller school?
I think what I've noticed is that, you know, like in a larger school, they have tryouts. So you have like a bunch of students trying to try out for a team, and some don't get in uh-huh. because there's so many. They can only pick a few, and then the ones that don't test high enough, they get shot away, and later on they go, well, you know, maybe I won't try out again, so they give up.
Yeah.
At this school, I think one of the benefits is that, you know, everyone gets a chance, mm-hmm. and so when you have smaller groups and they come to you and they want to participate, we let them, and it's a great learning experience for them because they get to learn all those great things that working in a group does, you know, mm-hmm. building up those relationships, communication, community, all of that. And so I think that working with smaller groups, it has its benefits. I mean, there's some downfalls, but definitely the benefits, because everybody gets a chance.
Yeah. And it's funny. It opens kids up who otherwise on a larger campus might be reticent to go out for a team,
exactly.
You know, because of nerves or whatever. We've seen kids try out for sports that they've never played before.
Yes. I've been surprised. Like
yeah.
the students that have been coming to me, and they want to participate, and I ask them, have you participated in any sports before? No.
Uh-huh.
I just think I'd be good at this. And I'm like, that's awesome. Let's try.
Yeah, which is just beautiful. And,
yes.
and sometimes they are, and sometimes they're not. And that's cool because, you know, you're developing new aptitudes and your body's learning to do different things.
Right. You never know if you never try.
Yeah, yeah. So, Tanya, I hear you've got a fundraiser coming up. Can you tell us about the fun run? You've got a fun run going on?
Yes, the fun run. And, you know, actually, it's next Friday on my fun day, run day with my PE class. So they're going to be helping out with the activity. But, yeah, we're going to have different booths set up so the students will be able to go around and participate in fun activities. I'm going to do a nice little relay because it is a run day. Let's make sure that we're running, right? It's a fun run.
Friday. Fun day, run day.
Yeah,
I like
exactly.
it.
And it's a fun run. So we're going to do some running activities, but we're going to make it really fun and silly at the same time.
Right.
So that
cool.
way they just enjoy themselves and have a great time. But the money that we're raising with this fun run goes towards the athletics programs.
Great.
In addition to that, it's also going to go towards the outdoor activities that we have for the students. So we're talking from, you know, TK all the way through high school. So we're talking physical education. education, recess, just align, you know, providing resources the students have, invigorating activities to do that are going to just build them up and, you know, keep them active in a good and functional way.
That is so important, and you're right. Anybody who's got a kid who's involved in sports knows that it's expensive. Athletics is not cheap.
No.
But regardless of what a student's financial abilities are, you don't hold anybody out from participating, do you?
Absolutely not. No, we don't. And we even have worked with families that say, hey, you know, I can pay, but I just can't pay at all right now. And we say, well, that's right. We can set you up on payments. So we work with families, absolutely. Even if we have to cut it in half or not charge them at all, I think we've even had staff step up and help pay for students.
That is another part of the beautiful kind of family feeling that you have at a small school like SCBI. That is fantastic. So your fun run sounds like a lot of fun. Is this just students participating? Can the public get involved? Who can participate?
Yeah, we're absolutely you know, encouraging families to come out and get involved because it really is for everyone. Mm-hmm. We want everyone to see what's going on at the school and how we operate things, and to just really take away that, you know, maybe that stigma of, you know, what a charter school really is, and show them that we are really like any other school.
Very cool. So current families. What about a family? Because like families are starting, we're getting into enrollment season. Families are looking at schools for next year. Prospective families can come out next Friday?
Absolutely. Yeah. Anyone who may be interested in what our school has to offer can make their way over with their children and come have a fun time.
Okay. Very cool. So let's let folks know how this is. We're talking about next Friday, February 24th.
Right. February 24th.
Okay. It's the fun run at SCBI Charter School. We say in Castaic because they're officially in, you're officially in Castaic, but it's right there in Valencia, just off Newhall Ranch Road.
Right.
ILeadSantaClarita.org for more information, or just Google SCVI. We're the first hit. So next Friday, February 24th, what time?
It starts in the morning, so I believe it's like around 9 o'clock, I believe.
Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah,
so families that are dropping their kids off.
And, right, just and, stick
and,
around.
You know what? If your kid doesn't go to SCVI yet, maybe hold them out from school. Come on, it's fine. It's middle of semester. You're good.
Yeah.
Bring them on over, run around, and then you can poke around the classrooms too. And,
yes.
And see what's going on in the athletics and the academic programs there at SCBI. Fantastic.
Yeah, and if you see me there over by the high school, say hi.
Yeah, definitely. Tanya, you're running some great programs, and I know it just blows my mind. With, again, such a small school, you're talking about, you know, less than 1,000 kids, TK through 12th grade, a couple hundred kids in the high school, but you're able to offer, it seems like, I don't know how, but it seems like you're able to offer even more than campuses 4, 5, 6, 10 times your size are able to offer. And there's just so many different things going on. We've got kids, well, gosh, learning how to fly. In school at SCBI, you've got kids participating in some amazing sports. You've got a robust theater and arts program. Oh, the things that Kevin and Cordy are doing at the theater. We just put on Midsummer Night's Dream. I think Alice in Wonderland is coming up.
Yes.
Some phenomenal productions in the theater. And that's not to mention our amazing science programs. Our math facilitators are incredible.
Yes.
So there's just so much going on out at SCBI. And I really do like to think that we've got something for every kid, because it's personalized education, you know.
That's it right there. It's personalized, individualized. That's how I run my class. I know how that's the other facilitators run theirs as well. So absolutely, for any kid will enjoy being at this school. I know a lot of the kids that say, "Hey, I might not be coming here." You know, next year they're in eighth grade. They might be going to a different high school, and they're sad. They don't want to. They want to stay, but the parents are saying no. But a lot of times what we see is the students come back.
Yeah.
They come back because they realize that this is a better school. So that's actually good to see. I like seeing that.
It is funny. We often do see that like sophomore bump in high school where that sophomore class grows because families are coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is really interesting. So if parents are interested in enrolling, whether it's enrolling your little one in our transitional kindergarten for next year, or it's time to get your high schooler into a program that better meets their needs, how would families go about enrolling, Tanya? So you have a website that they can go to?
And yeah, well, we have the iLead, the SantaClarita.org,
okay.
That they can go to if they're interested, and they can even call the school if they would like. They can talk with any one of the directors or people in the office that would
Fantastic.
Direct them to somebody.
Okay, so that's
sure.
iLeadSantaClarita.org.
Yes.
And, you know, I think the easiest is just to Google it. SCVI, it's going to be that top.
Yeah, SCVI Charter School. If you do that,
you
it's right there. You can call the school, and you can actually go to the website and just check out what we're doing. We have, you know, Monday messages and other stuff that's always on there.
That's right. Even if you don't attend our school, sign up for our Monday message. Mm-hmm. You'll get our Monday morning newsletter.
Yep.
It actually, I love it. It's kind of like my paycheck. It hits Sunday night.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, and I'm totally on Parent Square, so I'm always communicating with the parents. I'm on Parent Square all the time communicating with the families at SCVI.
Yeah, that's one of the things our families say is they love the communication at our school and the transparency. You know, a lot of schools that I've worked at have said, parents, we want you to volunteer on our campus, and then they put 10 or 20, you know, barriers to volunteering. But you walk around SCVI, there's parents everywhere. They're involved. They're participating.
Yep.
So again, iLeadSantaClarita.org for families that want more information, are interested in enrolling for the fall semester next year.
Yeah, and they can take tours anytime. We'll set up a tour for them. Yeah, so if you're interested in touring the campus, give us a call and we'll set something up for you.
Fantastic. Yep. Tanya Olertegi, Athletic Director at SCVI. Again, find out more about the athletics program, about some of the amazing projects going on, and just all the incredible things happening at SCVI by going to their website, iLeadSantaClarita.org. Tanya, thank you so much for your time. You have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You take care. I am Matt Watson. You're listening to SCVI and iLead Schools Eye on the Valley. We will be right back on your hometown station, KHTS. Welcome back. You are listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. This is Matt Watson, your host, and you are listening to SCVI and iLead Schools Eye on the Valley. Well, we've been building up over the last few weeks, you know, during this this third break of the hour. We've been chatting football as we head through the NFL playoffs and building up to the Super Bowl, and now it just feels like that slow fizzle after the big game is over. You know, we talked, we tried to keep you filled in and up to date on who was doing what in football, because it seems like, gosh, it seems like everybody watches the game, you know, at least that final game, the Super Bowl, and you may not have been watching, you know, for the entire year going through. I had been giving you my picks all the way through, and we did okay. So if you watched, of course you watched. It's the Super Bowl. Everybody watches, right? So you know that the Kansas City Chiefs won their second championship in 4 years. It was, you know, I think the one great thing. Nobody likes a Super Bowl when it's just an absolute blowout, boring game. It was an exciting game. Great game. The Chiefs staged an epic comeback and lots of fun. Well, unless you're an Eagles fan. If you remember, like I said, I was giving you my picks all the way through the playoffs, and I did end up rooting for the Eagles last week. I was pulling for the Eagles, even though, you know, I'm not really a fan of either of the two teams that were playing. But all along, I had been predicting that the Eagles would just cruise right through to the Super Bowl, and yeah, I was right. Right? You gotta give me that credit. I was right. Even before that first week of the playoffs, I told you the Eagles were going to cruise through to the Super Bowl and lose. Yeah, that's right. Even before the playoffs started, I told you that the Eagles would be the losing team. Again, I was right. But like I said, I kind of flipped the tables a little bit before we started last week, and I ended up pulling for the Eagles, although I wasn't sure that they were going to win. So that was a little bit disappointing for me. You know who it was probably a little bit more disappointing for? We mentioned, you know, station co-owner and Philadelphia Eagles superfan Carl Goldman. You know, we should try to get Carl on the phone. Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't want to talk about it. It's still a little bit too early. But I think Carl actually ended up going to the game. I don't know. I don't know how he got his hands on that ticket. My gosh, what an experience that must have been. I, you know, one of those things, we didn't talk about it last week, but we talk about fun facts for the Super Bowl and, you know, statistics and how many nachos America eats and all that stuff. And one of the stats that I like looking at is how much some of those tickets are going for. So, God, what an amazing experience. I think it could have been a little bit more amazing for Carl and the rest of the Eagles fans, but, But one of the stories folks were keeping their eye on was Jason and Travis Kelce, first two brothers ever to compete against each other in the Super Bowl. Not the first two brothers ever to compete against each other in the NFL. I think they were the fourth set of siblings to compete against each other, but the first two in the Super Bowl. And that's, gosh, that's got to be such a bittersweet moment, right? To walk off the field knowing that you just lost the Super Bowl, something that you've been fighting to attain your entire life, but then watching your brother lift that Super Bowl trophy. Again, got to be bittersweet. But good news for that family, even though who was it? Travis Kelce for the Eagles ended up losing. He's got a trophy of his own. He's got a Super Bowl ring already. He won a couple years back when the Eagles took that championship. So it's all good. There's now three Super Bowl rings in the Kelce family. So what about you? What did you do for the Super Bowl? Did you get together with friends and family, or are you more somebody that sits at home and watches the game by yourself? I know the way I treat Super Bowl is kind of the way a lot of people treat New Year's Day. I celebrate, I enjoy, I go completely hog wild, and then it's not until after Super Bowl that I set my New Year's resolutions, because, you know, who wants to set New Year's resolutions and then break them the first weekend of February, right? So yeah, I hung out at Big T's house, had some sliders, had some amazing chili, and I did my famous guacamole. That was a lot of fun, but then boom, the game's over. They crown a champion, and then football's gone for the next 7 months. But that's okay. You know why? Because baseball's coming. That's right. Don't be sad, sports fans. Baseball is coming. Pitchers and catchers showed up, well, in some towns just yesterday. As a matter of fact, I saw some video last night of Dodger great Clayton Kershaw getting some pitches in. Oh, man, the pop of the ball into that catcher's mitt is just music to my ears. It is sweeter than the birds chirping of spring, that first pitch hitting the catcher's mitt. I cannot wait for baseball to get started. Dodgers going all the way this year. Come on, boys. We got to get this done. Yeah, always a bridesmaid, never a bride, it seems, for the Dodgers. They keep winning the league and moving deep into the playoffs and then not winning that chance. I know they got the championship in 2020. That did feel a little bit different, though. So let's get it done this year, boys. And you know what else is back this spring? Yeah, that's right. Baseball is back. But the Cowboys are back. It's so good to have the Cowboys back this spring. No, not the Dallas Cowboys. I'm talking about the City of Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival. That's right. It did disappear for 3 years, but the Cowboy Festival is back this year. So we're super excited about that. There's going to be three stages of cowboy, country, folk, and bluegrass music coming up here April 22nd and 23rd, right here on Main Street in Old Town Newhall. Just reading from their website. I love it. They've got a countdown ticker already going. 63 days, 22 hours, 4 minutes left for the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival. And again, back after a 3-year hiatus. It seems like COVID squashed the Cowboy Festival. Like it squashed a lot of things a few years ago. And then it did take some planning and some preparation, some long discussion to see if and when it would ever come back. But again, reading from their website, the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival is Los Angeles County's premier Western music festival, surrounded by historic charm in the heart of Santa Clarita's Arts and Entertainment District on Main Street in Old Town Newhall. The Cowboy Festival offers a unique festival atmosphere with over 20 performances of live music, Western swing dance, vintage vendors, and Western festivities. And hey, it's just a great idea to put on your plaid Wrangler shirts and your jeans and boots and your hat and wander around downtown and just enjoy some amazing music and Western experiences from the days of the Gold Rush to Western movies, Santa Clarita's historic sites. It's going to be a great event. So glad that it's back. We're going to go ahead and take a break. I am Matt Watson, and this is SCVI, and I lead Schools Eye on the Valley on your hometown station, KHTS. Welcome back. You are listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 on the AM side. This is Matt Watson, your host, and you are listening to SCVI and I Lead School's Eye on the Valley. We are coming to you live from the center of Main Street here in beautiful downtown Newhall. I am joined now by Jeff Stabile. Jeff Stabile has been a leader in the community on LGBTQIA plus issues, mental health, and veteran services. A U.S. Air Force and Vietnam veteran, Jeff was instrumental in the formation of the Santa Clarita Veteran Services Collaborative, which is a leader in the area of serving veterans, providing services, and linkages for veterans needing housing, mental health counseling, food, and benefits. Jeff is a member of the Santa Clarita Veteran Services Collaborative Board of Directors, presents talks to various groups about SCVSC services, conducts fundraisers since the organization is supported completely through donations, regularly searches out, trains, and coordinates volunteers, picks up food for the pantry twice a week, staffs resource tables at various events, publishes the newsletter, disseminates all news releases and PR articles, plans events with other community partners, and appears on local radio shows like Eye on the Valley, as well as television, to promote the veterans organization. He has additional volunteer experience with the Special Olympics, Red Cross, graffiti removal programs, and the Suicide Prevention, Postvention, and Wellness Committee in LA County. So if you think you're busy, come hang out with Jeff for a little bit. He'll show you how it's done. And ever the advocate to support all of those in need, Jeff and his wife even started the Santa Clarita Valley PFLAG organization. And now, Jeff, he brought in his hardware this morning. Jeff has been recognized by the National Association of Social Workers as the California Community Member of the Year. Wow. Jeff, welcome back to Eye on the Valley.
Thank you.
So good to have you. And first of all, thank you for your service. Appreciate your military service. Appreciate all of your service to the community. Now, you and your family have been in Santa Clarita for a long time. We were chatting before the show got started again. You moved here in 1979 from the bitter north winds of Chicago. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit about why you've been such a champion for the residents of Santa Clarita all these years? Why has that been important for you, and what makes all the time you put into bettering our community worthwhile for you?
Well, in 79, we moved out here, and I remember it was several years later, I was reading something in the Signal about graffiti removal, and it was such a big problem, and I said, my God, why don't people just do something? And I had to all of a sudden stop and say, hey, you're talking about yourself. You haven't done anything.
There you go.
So that was like my start of doing some volunteer work here, and I did that for quite a number of years. And then it was great the city hired staff, and now they do it on a full-time basis.
Sure.
But prior to that, we just did it on a volunteer basis. Uh-huh. And did that for several years. And then in 1988, my wife and I saw the need for an organization called PFLAG, because our son came out to us in 86, and mm-hmm. we were driving down to Los Angeles, and finally, after a while, we looked around and said, we need to have something here.
Sure.
For the staff. So we started the PFLAG chapter in 1988, and on our 30th anniversary of PFLAG, we had the city recognize the organization for its contributions to the community. So that was really nice. Had that. And then we said, we're too old to do this. You know, we need to kind of turn this over to younger people that
okay.
are more, you know, up to date with everything that's going on. And so several years ago, we pulled back, and new young group came in, and they've been doing a great job, you know, for that. And then when I retired, really retired, my wife saw an article and said, here's something you should do. I think she really wanted me out of the house. You know? But she said, here's something you could do. And that was in 2018.
Okay.
And that's when I started volunteering for the collaborative, the Veterans Collaborative. And then it just grew from there. It was just an important thing that because I, you know, I saw what happened to a lot of the veterans that came home during Vietnam, which is really sad.
Oh yeah.
And just wanted to help them, and it just started growing from there. And now we have a 1,300 square foot veteran center up here.
Wow.
And we, I mean, as you were mentioning earlier, the thing is, once a veteran walks through the door, now this is veteran, active duty, and their families.
Okay.
So it's like a family member could come in.
Okay.
And once they come in, all we do is say, how can we help you?
All right.
We don't care what their political affiliation, their religion, it doesn't make any difference. You walk through that door, you're a veteran or a family member, we're going to help you. And so we have a food bank. We have medical equipment that we provide, no cost. I have a couple of computers that they can come in and use. And one of the really big benefits we offer is guidance and counseling on VA benefits.
All right.
Because the county has what they call veteran service officers, and they're the only people that can submit a claim.
Okay.
Because once you go into the computer and submit a claim, you're looking at somebody's social security number and all their records.
And
I understand that.
Completely. Yeah.
But there are 19 VSOs for the entire county of LA.
Okay.
And take away vacations and leave and sick time, et cetera. Maybe you have 14, 15 boots on the ground at any one time for the entire population, veteran population of the entire county of LA. So what we do is we have benefit specialists that come in. They can't submit the claim, but they can help provide all the paperwork, go over the paperwork, help fill out the paperwork. So when they get to go see that VSO, everything's done. And some of them don't realize what benefits they have. I was talking with people last night that were are using it for their kids' college education. Because state of California, you want to go to a community college, tuition's free.
Yeah.
And you can even go beyond that into 4 year, depending on your compensation rating that you have from the VA. So we have survivor's packet for spouses that have lost a loved one. And there's they're doing a lot, and now they have to go through the VA and figure out what's going on. Well, we have kind of counselors and specialists that will help guide them through that. And for example, we have Tuesdays and Thursdays are when they come into the facility, and they're volunteers, except one group is a county group called VPAN, which is Veteran Peer Access Network, and those are veterans that are hired by the county to help veterans, and they come in, and like last Thursday, we just keep checking, we had 21 people come through just to talk about benefits, and 1,300 square feet with all the other services that we have, it's a lot of people coming through. So we're going to be busting at the seams in the next 12 months, which we're going to have to find another facility. We just can't handle the crowds that are coming in and the increase that we're having, which is a good thing. Good thing there.
Sure.
But it's just, as you mentioned earlier, we work strictly on donations. We have no funding. We are not associated with any government organization or the VA. But we just try and be that bridge to what a veteran needs to get them prepared to go down to the VA and be ready to submit their claims right away.
Okay.
And then if they want to, if they get a denial, we can walk them through, okay, here's your appeal process and go through that. So we're just getting busier and busier.
It's great that folks are aware of the services that you offer and are reaching out and mm-hmm. getting them, but then you all need support from the community to make sure that you're able to minister to those folks' needs. We're talking this morning to Jeff Stabile from the Santa Clarita Veterans Services Collaborative, who has also recently been named California's Community Member of the Year. What an honor. Let me throw this scenario at you. You're providing some amazing services to veterans and veterans' families, especially for folks who may be struggling. You provide food. You mentioned you've got computers for them to use, and all different ways that you can take care of. Gosh, those who have really dedicated their lives to taking care of the rest of us, and it's a shame that some of these services are even necessary, but they really are. Mm-hmm. But it goes much beyond that. Mm-hmm. So as you're talking, I'm thinking of a close friend of mine. Who has a husband who is in the reserve but was recently deployed, went on a year-long deployment just a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so financially they're doing fine. They've got their home and she's got a great career and you know he's doing great, but with her kids off in college enjoying some VA benefits as well, mm-hmm. and him now gone, she finds herself by herself. What kind of services, if she were to walk in and just say, this is tough to bear, mm-hmm. what can the organization do for me and my family that's now away?
Yeah, we have like about 60 companies that have volunteered their services to be part of the collaborative, because it doesn't cost anything to be part of it, but you have to give something significant to the veteran.
Okay.
A company can't come in and say, I'll give them a 10% discount. You and I can walk into most stores and negotiate a 10% discount.
Sure. So
we've got lawyers. We got a lawyer who will do free wills and trusts.
Oh.
We've got realtors that give half their commission back to the veteran, that's a substantial sum when you're looking at the house.
Well, Phil Nordella's coming in after our show. We'll talk to him about what that would be. That's significant.
And so if they're looking for some support, other families that are in the neighborhood, we work with Blue Star Mothers, which are organization of people that have individuals that are in the military right now. And we work with the other – we can put them in touch with some of the other organizations, that also have services that they can help. If they have time and they want to do volunteer, they can help us out at the center. It doesn't have to be sitting there, but we have events, like we're setting up a program, about four or five programs for this year with Hello Auto Group.
Okay.
They called and said, what can we do? And all of a sudden, we've got four big things that we're going to partner on. We partner with the VFW, the Curtis Wright Defense Solutions called last year and said, how can we help? And so we're going to have a veteran career fair.
That's great.
In conjunction with COC at their campus in the fall. And so we can always use people to help mm-hmm. volunteer at those types of things. So this kind of gets some of the family members involved. And if they're some of the families that have a spouse that's deployed mm-hmm. may have issues that come up with some of the kids because there's a parent gone, and it's tough.
Right, yeah.
We have provided our materials to the school districts.
Oh.
So the counselors have resource books mm-hmm. that they can provide. They can give us a call and say, hey, we think there's an issue because the spouse is deployed, et cetera. Okay, what can we do?
Okay.
We can go over there. We can put them in touch with maybe another family or any of the companies. And, we help with through the suicide prevention, but we're in touch with a lot of mental health experts.
Yeah.
And so we can afford, because there are a number of services that can be provided at either no cost or very little cost. So we're pretty much a referral service
and
resources. The only things we do directly, as you say, are the food bank.
All right.
And the computers and an ear. Come on in, sit down and talk, and just tell us what you're going through. And we'll generally, we'll have somebody or something that we can connect you with that will help you get through that. Or, as I say, just come in, have a cup of coffee, a soda, cookies, whatever you want to have.
Sure. It's good.
And just sit and talk.
Yeah.
And we do that. And we have volunteers are ex-military, their moms, there are other people that just want to help. So you don't have to be a veteran to come and volunteer.
Yeah.
That's not necessary. Just the fact that you want to help, you know, we'll guide you through, you know, what you need to do.
How to best support folks. That's
right.
That is absolutely beautiful. And I love how generous and caring our community is.
Yeah.
We do such a good job of taking care of each other. And so it's great to hear that you've got plenty of volunteer opportunities for anybody that that wants to help out. Again, veterans and veterans' families who put so much on the line for each and every one of us. Jeff, how many veterans do we have here in the Santa Clarita area? Is it a large population?
I several years ago, I kind of went through census data, and I took the five zip codes at the time that made up the city.
Okay.
And we had about 10,400 veterans within those five zip codes.
Wow.
If you take a look at the congressional district, and at the time that included Simi Valley, but if you include the congressional district, it was 34,000 up here. Now, not every one of those need assistance because, as you were saying, and I've got, I didn't use any VA benefits till 2018, and I got out in 1967.
Wow. Okay.
But there are others that do need them and help. So, and those are probably three-year-old statistics that I'm using. I haven't done anything lately. So we have well over 10,000 just within the city. And thousands more when you take the unincorporated areas in here. And then, but we get calls from Florida. We get calls from Georgia. We get calls from Arizona.
Wow.
That have a friend who's in need. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, can you help them out? And one, the friend was living in his car. And I said, can you contact this guy and have him come in? And within 2 hours, the guy shows up at the office.
Wow.
So we talk, and Mental Health LA America has an office, a military resource center, right next to us.
Oh, great.
And at that time, it was before the pandemic, so I walked him right over there, and they did the intake and were able to connect him so he could get some housing.
Okay.
And we get calls from the senior center.
Yeah, I bet.
We get calls. One couple was up here from Florida because I think it was her father was getting to the point where he's not going to be able to be living on his own, needing some help. What can we do? And they saw the city gets calls and they refer people over to us because there is no other organization in this area that does everything that we do. I mean, we cover in our resource book, which are local resources in the Valley, we cover like 21 different categories that we provide referrals or resources or, you know, contacts. And we're the only one that does that. Now, there are a number of other organizations that do help and support, but they'll do specific things.
Sure.
Vietnam Veterans of America, VFW, Guardians. I mean, they all do really great work.
Sure.
But we cover such a wide gamut, and especially on the benefit side, that that's what we're kind of getting known for is, you know, you want to figure out what your benefits are, mm-hmm. what you're entitled to. And most veterans and families have to, they're entitled to those.
Yeah.
It's not something that, oh, they're just going to give me something free. They're entitled to that because of the service they gave. Okay, so come take advantage of it. It's there for you to use.
Yeah,
and especially when there's a death.
Yeah,
I mean that's so difficult to go through, and we've got a whole packet we can give you and say, hey, here's that, and we'll help you through it.
You are that universal adapter for the veteran community, and just connecting them with every sort of resource that's available for them out there.
I'm going to use that if that's okay.
Absolutely. You take it. Jeff Stabile is the director of the Santa Clarita Veteran Services Collaborative and California Community Member of the Year, joining us this morning. I want to talk about that distinction when we come back, Jeff, as well as get a little bit more information on how veterans and their families can access the many services that you and your team provide. I'm Matt Watson. You're listening to SCVI and I Lead Schools Eye on the Valley on your hometown station, KHTS. Welcome back. You're listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. This is SCVI and I Lead Schools Eye on the Valley, and I am your host, Matt Watson. We're talking this morning with the director of the Santa Clarita Veteran Services Collaborative and California Community Member of the Year, Jeff Stabile. Jeff, let's talk about this honor from the National Association of Social Workers as California Community Member of the Year. It's kind of a big deal and so well deserved. I mentioned before you brought in a little hardware that mm-hmm. that you were proud to share with me before we started, and rightfully so. It's such an incredible honor. Can you tell us a little bit about how you were nominated for this award? It was somebody that recognized the incredible work that you have quietly been doing over the last mm-hmm. few decades, right?
Yeah. Actually, I received an email from the local National Association of Social Worker chapter here in Santa Clarita that you've been selected, you know, for an award. And this just came out of the blue. I had no idea. But I noticed that Larry Schallert, who coordinates mental health services over at COC, was copied on this. So I sent an email to Larry saying, what is this about? You know, I just got this out of the blue. And and he said, yeah, that's true. Well, he nominated me for this. And then the local chapter selected me and then presented me with the plaque. And then they asked, if it's okay, we want to forward your name to the state chapter. Uh-huh. And I said, okay, that's fine. And then it was, I think, in September that got notification from the state that they had selected me as the community member of the year for the state of California. I said, that's whoa. Incredible. And so there was a Zoom thing, and we accepted along. There were, four or five different other individuals, different categories. And then they said, we'll send you, you know, your award in the mail. I said, okay, that's fine. And then I received this plaque, which is just gorgeous. I wish your viewers could see it because it's just, it's cut glass. It's really gorgeous. And you know, I've got the plaque that hangs up and I'm trying to find the right place to put the other award. But it was really special because most of these people that selected me, I think from the local as well as especially national, have no idea who I am, but they just took a look at what the accomplishments were, and that's why it means so much, is they based it on the accomplishments rather than he's a nice guy, you know, and that kind of stuff. So it really means a lot, and I was very honored to get it, and I know the Signal did a nice article about 2 weeks ago on this award. So it's something that's very special to me over the years to recognize for what I've been doing.
Right. It's a little bit different from them recognizing you, they're recognizing your work that right. I know is so mm-hmm. important to you, and
yeah.
and you're very proud of what you do, and you should be. You should be proud of what you do, mm-hmm. and the recognition extremely well deserved. You're doing some amazing things for some amazing people mm-hmm. That are in deep need. We were talking a little bit before the break about all the services that you provide for our local veterans at the Santa Clarita Veterans Services Collaborative. But if you had to choose, you know, what are maybe some of the top two or three resources that you would recommend for a veteran or someone in a veteran's family coming in and just getting started?
Well, the first thing is we have specialists twice a week that come in and help counsel on VA benefits because okay. these are very it's a huge website, and it's sometimes difficult to go through. Mm-hmm. And depending on the age of the veteran, the ability to use electronics changes a little,
sure.
especially for the older ones. And so they need some help in filling out some of the forms and making sure they're filling out the right form. And that is probably the number one thing that we do is the counseling and guidance on VA benefits. Mm-hmm. And that's getting to the point I mentioned earlier. Last Thursday, we had 21 people come through our 1,300 square foot office, you know, looking for benefits. That's a lot of people to
sure.
service, you know, in
sure.
a time. So we do that. The food bank is important. We have regulars that come in every week. Sometimes twice a week
okay.
To pick up food. And we have mm-hmm. Ralph's gives us donations, Vaughn's through the VFW Auxiliary gives us donations, and then also Grocery Outlet we pick up mm-hmm. from them.
Mm-hmm.
So we bring in food three times a week, you know, just filling canned goods, packaged goods, refrigerated goods, bakery items, breads, mm-hmm. cakes, and we joke about our health food section, which is all the cakes and cookies.
Oh, yeah, here we go. All
right. And that seems to go faster than anything else, you know. But, and then, so we've got the food bank. And then the other thing is just, it's probably the volunteers, because they're there and all they want to do is help. And they just want to say, tell us what we can do for you and tell us your issue. We'll get to it. And, you know, we could use a couple more volunteers because we're open Monday through Friday.
All right.
From 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. And we have 2 volunteers in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And that's for, you know, reasons that if you have several veterans come in, you can have several volunteers helping
sure.
them. And also from a safety standpoint, you know, because
oh,
some of us are – pretty, you're getting on in years, so we're going to have a medical issue. We want somebody else there that's going to help us out. But also it builds like a camaraderie and
yeah.
everything. And so we got some great volunteers been with us for years
mm-hmm.
that several that were there volunteering before I got there.
Oh, wow.
So it was, you know, they tend to stay. And the only reason they don't stay is they move out of town or move out of the state for mm-hmm. some reason. And so those are probably the top three that come to my mind.
All right. And the fact that your volunteers tend to stay unless they move away
right.
speaks to the satisfaction that, mm-hmm. that folks get. And you said you're always looking for more volunteers because the work
right.
is plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get state funding, federal funding. This is all donation-based?
That's right. We have no funding whatsoever from anybody.
Wow.
It's donations. We apply for grants, you know,
okay.
Whatever we can. The city's been great. Mm-hmm. They provided us, we've been able to get a grant for the last 3 years from the city. In 2019, we got a LA COVID relief grant,
mm-hmm.
Which was good. We have the local pub and grill
mm-hmm.
takes one of the months, and we're the charity of the month. And
oh,
so
cool.
all of the proceeds from a special menu item come to us.
All right.
And so I think we're talking June or July will be our month again. And this is like the third year mm-hmm. that they're going to do it. And then, as I say, the Hello Auto Group called and wanted to help us out. The Curtis Wright called and said, like to help out. So, you know, we will partner with anyone that would love to hold an event or do something with us. And, you know, some of the schools do food drives.
We got
young kids that come in. We had a Canyon Aquatic swim team did a fundraiser for us, which we weren't even aware of.
Oh, cool.
And they walked in and handed us a check for $1,000.
That is fantastic.
You know, and they had a special cap that they had made that they sold as part of the fundraiser.
All right.
And the Signal did an article on them. But this was something that we didn't know anything about, and they just showed up. And, you know, that's really something. We had a Bridgeport Elementary fourth graders brought in a wall hanging that they made for us, which is unbelievable. I mean, I was impressed with it. But these are fourth graders, and they came in to give it to us. And when they came in that day, we had a couple that was in that was actually sitting down and writing out a donation check to us because we've been working and helping them over the years. So he accepted this wall hanging and these cards that they had made on behalf of the center. And he and his wife got emotional because they saw what the kids were bringing in.
Yeah.
Then the kids got emotional because they saw it. But our two volunteers said that was the greatest day we've ever had volunteering here is when those kids came in. And what's great is seeing that a number of educators and other parents are reminding younger kids, hey, you're veterans, and here's what they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to remember that some of them are going through some difficult times. We want to thank them, et cetera. So I'm really happy to see that.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm getting misty over
here.
That was great.
I would have lost it if I was if I was there that day.
Well, and what I love is there's nobody listening to us right now that can't get involved. We're not just talking about, hey, if you've got time to volunteer. You're talking about local businesses that can do any number of things to support you, and schools and sports teams and kids organizations, adults organizations, individuals, and then, you know, we've got some generous folks, you know, out in our community that, you know, that maybe don't have the time to volunteer on a regular basis, but could certainly cut a check. Y'all take monetary donations.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Nardella, I see you. You're out there. I'm talking to you, buddy. folks can make monetary donations, get connected, and volunteer. How would they do that, Jeff? Who would they reach out to?
They can call us at the center. The number is 661-753-3559. They can go on our website, which is www.scv-vets.org.
That's super easy. scv-vets.org.
Right.
One more time, the phone number?
661-753-3559. Okay. Or they can just walk in. Just, you know, that door's open all the time. So come on in, and if you want to come in and hand us a check, we'll take it.
Fantastic. And if folks are just out there Googling, it is Santa Clarita Veterans Services Collaborative, and they can look you up there. Boom, top hit. I just did it myself. scv-vets.org is the first hit that comes up. Santa Clarita Veterans Services Collaborative. Folks can donate their time. Folks can donate money. Get whatever organization they're passionate about involved and involved in working with your organization.
Yeah, we'd love to partner with anybody.
Wow, that is fantastic. And I understand also, and this one hits real close to my heart, Jeff, you've got coming up next weekend on February 26th at Lucky Luke's, there's going to be a charity car show from noon to 5?
Yes.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about that event?
Yeah, again, got a call from the organizer of the car show saying, hey, you know, we do this for charities and we'd like to do it for your charity. We said, sure, we'd love to do that. So we'll have a resource table up there, and just people come to the car show, and, you know, they're going to give a portion of the proceeds that they get from the car show will come to us.
Yeah, a decent portion. I'm reading 20% of the proceeds go to you guys. So that's great. So
it is.
You can go hang out, have a beer, look at some really cool cars. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be there? Can folks
I'll be there
meet you
later
and shake your hand?
Yeah, I'll be there probably starting around 2. We'll be there from the beginning, but I'll be there about from 2 till closing.
Okay, so that's February 26th at Lucky Luke's.
Right.
Again, grab a beer, check out some cool cars, and help out the veterans that that have just put everything out there to serve our country and our community and their families who have sacrificed so much as well. Going through the Santa Clarita Veterans Service Collaborative, y'all are supporting our veterans and our military members and families in so many very, very important ways. Jeff Stabile, one more time, the director of Santa Clarita Veterans Services Collaborative. And again, congratulations, California Community Member of the Year. Jeff, I again want to thank you for your service to our country, to so many in our community. Gosh, it seems like you've given everything, but you just continue to give back, and we're so grateful for you. Bless you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much for having me.
Jeff, you have a wonderful weekend, and have a great time February 26th out at Lucky Luke's, at a car show, and that will go to support the Santa Clarita Veterans Service Collaborative. Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You take care. We will be right back. We're gonna play a little bit of trivia with Big T when we come back. This is SCVI and I Lead School's Eye on the Valley. I am Matt Watson on your hometown station, KHTS. Welcome back. You are listening to KHTS, your hometown station, 98.1 FM and 1220 AM. This is SCVI and I Lead School's Eye on the Valley. I am your host, Matt Watson, and I'm joined in studio now by Engineer Andrew. How you doing, brother man?
Good morning. Doing great. Doing great.
Good to have you. Good to have you. It's not your time, though, Andrew. It is time for Big T's 5 Minutes of Fame. Y'all know Big T. Big T is a longtime resident and leader in the Santa Clarita Valley. He's an executive and philanthropist. He's an amazing father, husband, and community leader. And he is my partner in crime, my alibi, and the one whose idea it was in the first place. Here he is, everybody. He's mom's favorite, Big T. Welcome to the show.
How are you, Matty?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Hey, great first guest. You have the athletic director on there, which is perfect for your show. I mean, you're one of the biggest athletic supporters I know.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. And let's not forget Jeff Stabile, the Santa Clarita Veterans Center. He's doing some amazing things to support some amazing people. But
he was good. I only was able to listen to the tail end. I was on a call. Sorry.
Oh, Jeff was fantastic. Hey, no problem. You got a thriving career that you've got to curate. So, Big T, you're going to play trivia with us. You've got the questions. We hopefully have the answers. And I just want to remind our audience of the rules. Andrew and I are going to be hitting our buzzers, which is our name. You can play along at home, and you've got a significant advantage if you do. You don't have to hit your buzzer. You just shout out the answer, see if you can beat us. All right, Big T, let's do this.
Outstanding. Hey, a little fun fact. We got President's Day weekend, right? So you got a lot of families that are getting ready to go away, and it's a little chilly, but, you know, so you may not be using an outdoor pool, but some places have public heated pools, and some places have indoor pools. So the fun fact, Matty, you know that heavy bleach smell when you're at a public pool?
Oh, yeah.
That's actually not a smell that the pool's been over-chlorinated. That is a smell of the mixture of chlorine and...
Don't say
urine.
It.
Sorry.
Okay.
Oh,
have a nice weekend.
Man.
All right.
Boy, I
always thought it smelled extra clean.
I spent most of my childhood in the pool at Santa Clarita Park, and that explains this sixth finger I've got.
Yeah, it didn't smell that way when we saw the pool at Hearst Castle, that's for sure.
Oh, that's true, yeah. All right.
All right, you ready for some questions?
No, I need to take a knee on that one, T. All right, I think I got it. Okay, let's do this.
All righty. What fictional town does SpongeBob SquarePants live in?
Andrew.
Oh.
Andrew.
Bikini Bottom.
That is correct.
Hey.
Who is the most followed person on Instagram?
Frogger.
Frogger.
Elon Musk.
Incorrect. It's actually an athlete.
Ooh. Athlete?
Jackie Robinson. Say Jackie Robinson.
Nah, Floyd Mayweather. You know?
It makes sense when you hear it. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. What early 1990s TV show featured a family member with Down syndrome?
Frogger.
Frogger.
Facts of Life?
Incorrect. You got anything, Ender?
No, nothing.
Life goes on.
Okay. Goes on. I think Facts of Life had a character with cerebral palsy.
Father-in-law.
Say again. I was following up on that last one.
Yeah, which Marvel Chris has a super famous father-in-law?
Which Marvel Chris?
Andrew. Chris Evans.
Andrew. Incorrect.
Frogger. Chris Pratt.
There's three of them, right?
Yeah.
Chris Pratt is correct.
Yeah!
Oh, come on.
I'm brilliant.
In Star Wars, who is the Jedi Master that trained Luke Skywalker?
Frogger.
Yoda, it was.
Incorrect.
What?
The Jedi Master.
Was it Qui-Gon?
Incorrect. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Okay.
Did he train? No, I guess.
See, if you train him and then
Come
he trains
on.
Then, them.
Then, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the hierarchy of the thing.
What is Batman's secret identity?
Frogger.
I got Frogger than Andrew.
Bruce Wayne
is correct. How many books are there in the Bible?
Frogger. 66.
66 is correct.
Darn right. You want me to name them all in order?
Yep.
I don't think we have time.
I've had to do that. The Latin for kidnapper is the root of what word that means to steal the word of another and claim them as your own?
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're asking. Frogger, I'm going to go with plagiarism.
Plagiarize, yes.
Yeah, all right. Oh, okay. All right.
In the medical field, the letters NP stand for what profession?
Andrew. Was it nurse practitioner?
Oh.
That is correct.
Hey. Good pull.
Wimbledon is the only Grand Slam tournament played on what surface?
Frogger. Grass.
Grass is correct.
I've got a question for you. Is that Wimbledon with a T?
That's the new one.
No.
Oh, okay.
Obi-Wan.
Okay.
What Italian was the only driver to win the Indianapolis 500, the Daytona 500, and the Formula Championship?
Ooh.
Nope.
Frogger. Dale Earnhardt. Junior.
Italian. yes, Junior. He's Italian.
Okay.
Got nothing.
Mario Andretti.
Okay.
Two more quick ones, Big T.
All right. In retail, what does the term POS stand for?
Frogger, point of sale.
Point of sale is correct.
Yeah, killing
what's
it.
What's the second largest suspension bridge in the United States?
Andrew. Brooklyn?
Incorrect. Other coast.
Frogger, Golden Gate.
Golden Gate, unless that gives you the win over Andrew.
Oh,
okay. So you're saying, I didn't think it was good. I thought that was a first, that's why.
Nah, I smoked him, man. I smoked him. All right, Big T, we do have to wrap it up. Thanks so much for swinging by. We appreciate it. We also would like to thank our guests, SCDI Charter School's Athletic Director, Tanya Olertegi, Director of Santa Clarita Veterans Service Collaborative, and California Community Member of the Year, Jeff Stabile, Producer Sarah, Engineer Precious, Engineer Andrew, Big T, and thank you for listening. Remember, life is hard, but we're all here to help each other along. Be well and do good. Have a great weekend, everybody. Join us again next week and every Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. I am Matt Watson, and this is SCVI and I Lead Schools Eye on the Valley on your hometown station, KHTS.